morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. A special welcome to visitors who are with us this morning. Please join us for time of food and fellowship after worship. You can go through these doors to your left, and we would be pleased to welcome you and get to know you better. There are a few announcements in the bulletin that I would draw your attention to. The flower announcement is incorrect today. These gorgeous flowers are given by Bob and Judy Reed. Judy put them together, and it's in honor of their grandkids that these flowers are placed. The flowers on the windowsills are from yesterday's wedding. Brett Thomas and Delaney Sandberg were married here in the sanctuary yesterday. Thank goodness it was dry inside because it was wet outside. But it was a great wedding, and we wish them well in their new life together. Delaney has taken a job in Lexington, South Carolina, near Columbia, and so they will be moving, unfortunately, from our area, but we wish them well. Starting tomorrow, I will be on vacation. If you have a pastoral concern or need, please call Debbie here in the church office. And next Sunday, our own Bill Beck will be preaching, so we'll be pleased to welcome him. This evening at 7 p.m., the Summer Sabbath series continues. We'll be meeting in the gathering room, so if you've been part of that or you're interested, please join us this evening at 7 p.m. There's also information in your bulletin about the first Friday in August. The church will be open as part of downtown Carlisle's celebration, so if you're able to help with that, please talk to Charlie Thompson. He will be able to get you signed up and find out exactly what's going to be happening. And there's also information in the bulletin about a program coming up on Friday, August the 17th, for our young people and teens. The Sadler Health Fair is that day, and we have volunteered to help prepare some of the food for that event. So please mark that on your calendars if need be. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and be glad in it as we worship God. O come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Joyful songs of praise. Thank you. ever more ready to hear and to forgive than we are to pray and to confess. God knows our needs before we even ask. And so in humility and in faith, let us pray together. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, light of the world. Amen. Hear the good news. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives you all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, let us also forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you.
And now, as forgiven people of God, let us pray together that we hear the word that God has for each of us today. Let us pray. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word.
Give us grace that we may truly understand.
And freely choose the way of your wisdom through Christ our Lord. Amen. And today our children seem not to want to come forward or be here, so we will go and invite our reader, Bruce Mulvey, to come forward.
Good morning. The first reading today is Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 12. They can be found in the Pew Bible on page 163, if you'd like to read along. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
second lesson this morning continues our journey through Exodus. This morning, we hear from chapter 14, verses 10 through 31, as the Israelites have left Egypt and are preparing to cross the Red Sea. Listen again to God's word. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone, and let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. But you lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the Israelites may go into the sea on dry ground. Then I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and so I will gain glory for myself over Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots and his chariot drivers. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained glory for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his chariot drivers." The angel of the Lord who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel, so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I distinctly remember the little red children's Bible that I had when I was growing up. I don't know where it came from, either my parents or maybe from Sunday school. But it was a little book about so big, about so thick. I remember taking it out and looking at it, even before I could read. It was one of those children's Bibles with cheesy 80s pictures in it. And I remember looking at the pictures, trying to figure out what was going on in the story. There were maybe 50 or 60 stories, the best known Bible hits for children, with illustrations in this particular Bible. I looked for it this week, and sadly I could not find it. I have no idea where it is. Maybe it's gone to a book sale someplace and someone else has it. One of the stories I distinctly remember from that little red children's Bible was the story of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, the story that I just read to you this morning. And looking back now, it's kind of surprising to me that this story made it into that little red children's Bible, because they told the whole story, not just the Israelites crossing through on dry ground, but the whole part of the story, complete with Egyptian army officers and chariots and chariot drivers drowning. And that's kind of scary, especially for a little kid. The first picture was good. It was Moses holding up his arms, not quite like a referee calling a touchdown, but pretty close, and the waters parting. And the second picture was the Israelites marching through that wall of water on either side of them. But the third picture, I remember being very confused by it, because the third picture was the waters crashing back together and the Egyptian army being drowned. And there were chariot wheels floating in the water, and the men were in the water, but it looked to me like they were having a pool party. It looked like they were splashing each other. It did not look like they were drowning at all. It did not look like a disaster. It did not look like God's judgment. It looked like a bunch of guys having a good time. Like many stories we tell children, this one, I suppose, was softened a bit so as not to terrify four-year-olds from ever going near water again, lest they think God might drown them in the kiddie pool. And maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But this is a serious story. It's another one of those stories from Exodus that is hard for us to understand. It's another one of those stories that we really struggle with what is going on here. If you only ever read the Illustrated Children's Bible, or if you only ever watch Charlton Heston in The Ten Commandments, that movie has been playing in the background of my mind all summer as I've been reading and preparing these sermons from Exodus, by the way. If you only ever have those images in your mind, there's a chance that you'll miss something very important in this story. There's a chance that you'll miss God. It's kind of easy to forget when we're reading the Illustrated Children's Bible or watching the Ten Commandments on the big screen that God is actually the main character in these stories. I guess the Almighty simply proved too difficult, even for the great Cecil B. DeMille to cast. We forget that God is actually the main character in this story. It's God who heard the cries of the oppressed Israelites during their centuries of slavery in Egypt, and it's God who summons Moses to lead the people to freedom, and it's God who leads the people out of Egypt to freedom. It's God who goes with the people in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. It's God who sends the plagues on the Egyptians. It's God who parts the waters of the Red Sea. It's God who is protecting and fighting for these people. So even though sometimes it's hard for us to see, God is all over the place in this story. God is all over the place in this story, even though it's easy for us to overlook the divine presence, even though it's easy for us to see how not easy, even though it's not always easy for us to see how God is the one who delivers Israel. And I think that's true for us in our own lives as well, because God is all over the place in our lives, and yet how easy it is for us to be focused on anything, everything else. We live in a crazy, busy, noisy, chaotic world, and you don't need me to tell you that. Everything today is breaking news and weather action alerts. That's just the reality of life in the 21st century. We are always on. Our cell phones are buzzing and beeping and humming and alerting us to all sorts of things. Noise is simply a default setting. We live with it all the time. We've gotten so used to the noise that for most of us, silence makes us deeply uncomfortable. Silence makes us deeply uncomfortable. We want to fill that void with something. And if you don't believe me, well, let's just sit here for a while and see how uncomfortable we can be. Silence makes us uncomfortable. Every day when I go home, I walk in the front door of my house, and almost immediately I turn on the radio or the television. It doesn't really matter what's on, just so that there is some background noise in the house. My guess is I'm not the only one who does that. Silence, it makes us uncomfortable. And so does stillness. When I was in high school and college, I worked as a musical entertainer during the summers. I know that might be hard for some of you to believe. The company that I worked for also employed people that they called living mannequins. Living mannequins were mostly women who would stand around in this place where I worked, and they would stand perfectly still for 10 minutes or so, modeling different outfits, different clothes. And once they got into position, they couldn't move a muscle. I was fascinated by these people because I could never stand still for 10 minutes. That would be impossible. They had to endure itchy noses and gnats buzzing in their ears because they were always standing outside, and people coming up and pointing and trying to tug on them. And are they real or are they actual mannequins? What's going on here? But it was always interesting to talk to the women who were living mannequins, because they always talked about how it afforded them a different perspective on their work and on the environment around them, because they could just watch and listen for 10 minutes without having to think of any response, without being able to respond. They saw and they heard things all around them that otherwise would have gone unnoticed. So there's value in silence and stillness. But there wasn't much of either among the Israelites as they were standing on the banks of the Red Sea. I imagine it was pretty much utter chaos. Just when they thought they had escaped Egypt, Pharaoh's army appears on the horizon, chasing after. And the Israelites cry out to God in fear. They say to Moses, rather angrily, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die here in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Oh, how quickly we forget. How quickly we forget 430 years of slavery. How quickly we forget 430 years of oppression. How quickly we forget 430 years of being owned by Pharaoh instead of belonging to God. Patience and remembering was never Israel's strong suit. And so they need a pep talk, a motivational speech, a reminder to look at the big picture. So Moses steps up. "Do not be afraid. Stand firm," he says. "See the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to keep still." Can you imagine hearing those words? Standing there on the edge of the Red Sea, Egyptian chariots bearing down, and Moses says, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still. God's got this. God's got this all under control." I'm not sure that did much to alleviate the fears being felt by most of the people of Israel that day. It's kind of like someone saying, "Don't worry, it'll all work out," when you're feeling anxious about a cancer diagnosis or a broken relationship or being broke. It's easy to tell someone, "It'll all work out. Just trust in God." It's easy to say something like that until you face a seemingly insurmountable obstacle, like the Egyptian army. The people of Israel, they don't have much of a track record with God at this point. All this relationship with God business, it's still rather new to them. They're still trying to get used to this idea of being God's chosen people. And so they're afraid and they're asking these questions. Can we really trust God? Can we really trust what Moses is saying? And we ask the same questions even today. Can I really trust God? Can I know who God is? Can I really trust what the scriptures have to say about God? Those are really good questions. And I would say that the answer to them is yes. But can I really trust God? Yes. Yes, you can, but you must learn to do it yourself. No one can make you trust God. I can't make you trust God. I can't make you do anything. I can't even make you come to church. You have to trust God for yourself. Can I know who God is? Yes. Yes, you can. But you must get to know God yourself. Other people can tell you about God. I can tell you about God, but you have to take the time and have the patience to get to know God for yourself. Can I trust what the scriptures say? Yes, yes, you can, but you have to read and study the Bible, both as an individual believer and as part of the body of Christ, the church, in order to begin to understand. The answers are yes, but knowing and trusting God is something that we each must experience for ourselves as part of the community of faith. No one can do it for you. Other believers can tell you about their experiences and beliefs. We can pray for one another. We can encourage one another. We can serve one another. But we cannot believe for one another. Believing takes time. It takes silence, it takes stillness, and finding ourselves in God's presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. The psalmist writes, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still. Believing takes time. It takes silence. It takes stillness. I think that was part of the lesson that the Israelites learned as they were standing on the banks of the Red Sea. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. See the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to keep still. Be still, says Moses. Those are words we need. Those are words I need, especially when I'm busy or afraid and I don't take time to focus on what's really important. Be silent. Those are good words too. In the noise and the chaos of life, how often do we take the time to be silent, to be in silence, to experience silence? And how often do we take the time to look around and see and examine and understand what God is doing in our lives and in our church and in our world? Be still, be silent, and you will be amazed. When we take time to rest, when we still our busyness, and silence our noisiness, and discover what God is doing in our lives and in our church and in our world, we will be amazed. The Lord will fight for you, says Moses. You have only to keep still. God is all over the place in this story. He's the one doing all the work. And yet it's so easy for us to overlook the divine presence and fail to see how God is the one who delivers Israel, how God is the one who delivers us. We get caught up in the fact that this is a hard story, and it is a hard story. How could God do this? Why would God do this? All those Egyptians drowned, the pride of Pharaoh drowned in the Red Sea. Why would God do that? I know some of you are asking these questions. I'm asking these questions too, because this is hard stuff. And we have to remember that God is in the midst of saving his people in this story. God is saving his people, his chosen covenant people in this story. What happens to the Egyptians is horrific, but it's a reminder of just how much God loves Israel, that he would cause the whole Egyptian army to be drowned. God is all over the place in this story. He's the main character. We have only to be still and see God fight for us. God is all over the place in our lives. And yet we're focused on anything and everything else. We have only to be still and see God fight for us. In our busy, noisy lives, in our busy, noisy world, we sometimes forget that God is not just a bit player that we trot out on Sunday morning. God is the main character in our lives. By trusting in Jesus Christ, we become God's children, his precious chosen possession, and our lives are then hid with Christ. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves, writes Paul to the Romans, because if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we belong to God. We belong to God. Think about that. We belong to God. And God wants to have that deeply personal connection with each and every one of us. That deeply personal connection that is nurtured in stillness and silence as we commune with our Creator. God wants to be the main character in our lives, not in some sort of egotistical, hey, look at me sort of way. No, God wants to be the main character in our lives in a life-giving, life-changing, life-sustaining sort of way. So be still, be silent, and you will be amazed. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, in the midst of busyness and noise, give us the courage and the strength to seek stillness and silence, and in so doing, to seek you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Us affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven
and sitteth on the right hand of the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated.
And together let us pray. Eternal Creator, you have been good and gracious beyond all our deserving. All we have and all we are gifts of your devotion. You have surrounded us with your comfort and your healing, with beauty, with friends and family. You have placed hope in our hearts. As we unite in prayer, make us attentive to every desire that you have for us and for our world. Where hearts are hardened, soften them. Where our feet are slow to follow you, spur them on. Where hands stay idle, move them to work. Do this and more, as you know our every need. We pray for healing and comfort for those who are sick in body and mind and spirit. We pray for our country's leaders to create wise and healing decisions. We pray for families, those in our homes, our church, and in our community. We pray for all people, God, your amazing creation, this world we live in. And now, in this time of silence, let us pray for those people and situations which are on our hearts and in our souls, those that we pray for with joy and sorrow, those who we pray for with anxiety and gratitude. And as we have prayed for these situations and people in hope, let us pray together now as a family prayer that our brother Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We now have the opportunity and privilege to give back to God a portion of what God has given to us in this life. Will the ushers please come forward?
Thank you. Together, let us pray. God, you are ever faithful. We long to be faithful givers, modeling ourselves on you who has given everything to us. May your spirit of abundance, which gives more than we can ask or imagine, bless these gifts for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.